Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Lynn McDermott to the broadcast. Lynn is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Dominion Resources. She's held that position since January of 2001. She joined the energy industry with Virginia Power in 1982, rising to the position of CIO in 1998. Lynn is the Chair of the Board of Directors of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Chair of the Board of Trustees of Mary Baldwin College, and Chair of the Board of Directors of RichTech, among other boards upon which she serves. Lynn was named to Computer World's list of Premier 100 IT Leaders in 2004, won the 2008 Executive Women in Business Achievement Award, and received the 2010 Outstanding Woman Award in the Business category from the YWCA of Richmond. Lynn received her bachelor's degree in business from Mary Baldwin College and earned her master's degree in business administration from the University of Richmond. I recently caught up with Lynn in her office in Richmond, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we covered her thoughts related to the evolution of the skills needed in the IT department, Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we discussed matters related to security, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Lynn talked about the processes she's employed to align IT with the strategic needs of the business, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you.
Lynn, I wonder if you could tell our listeners, those of whom may be less familiar with Dominion Resources, could you talk a little bit about the organization as well as your role in it?
Sure. Dominion Resources is a large energy company that serves Virginia and Ohio, parts of Pennsylvania. We have both electric and gas service that we provide, about 25,000 megawatts of generation, electric and gas transmission, big pipes for both electricity and gas. So we're a fully integrated IOU, as they say. So my role in the organization as CIO, I've been CIO for 10 years now. Seems like a long time. Prior to that, I came out of the nuclear organization, nuclear engineering, so I've always had a technical background, and that's, I think, what makes being CIO so much fun for me. I've seen lots of changes at Dominion, as well as across the utility industry. Some of you may recall that we were going to deregulate, utilities were going to deregulate in the late 90s. Some jurisdictions did, Texas, California. Where Dominion serves, we have not deregulated, so we're still a regulated entity. But we have the advantage of a lot of the new technologies that have emerged from deregulation and innovation within an open market. Things like smart grid. So we'll probably talk a little bit about that later on, but that's why it's so exciting to be part of a stodgy old utility.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned you've been with the organization 10 years, which by CIO standards is quite a long time. Can you talk about the advantages of having a longer tenure as CIO in terms of being able to enact perhaps a broader vision or having a longer amount of influence on the change that you're exerting?
I think that clearly, there is an advantage in knowing the organization. You can't be a good CIO, you can't deliver good IT services unless you understand the business strategy. And having been part of the team that evolves that business strategy over 10 years has really helped me to understand where technology can enable that strategy. It's also allowed me to build really strong relationships with other company leaders. We went through a real transition within IT from the mainframe glass house phenomena where we sat and waited to take an order and built a system and threw it over the wall. So me coming into IT gave me an opportunity to really change the culture of our IT department, to partner with the business, to create teams within the business because I had that business background. And I think that's probably why I've lasted, is because I've tried to maintain within the IT organization, that focus on we're not about delivering technology solutions, we're about enabling the business to achieve their goals.
That's a wonderful vision and a great way to articulate that. And I imagine that perhaps when you took the role that your partners and other parts of the organization may have had differing levels of knowledge or curiosity about IT.
Right.
How did you go about explaining what IT could do on their behalf?
That was probably one of the hardest things. First of all, I had to understand what IT could do. And still, that's a real issue CIOs face, is where's the value? We talk a lot about what value does IT create. And it's not just about back office processes anymore. You know, initially 10 years ago, we were, for instance, at Dominion, we were putting in SAP. We were standardizing our payroll. We were standardizing the general ledger for multiple companies. It assisted us tremendously in these standard processes in mergers that we've engaged in. So folding companies into Dominion has been very easy. That value was obvious to our business partners. What's not so obvious is employee productivity. You know, how does having technology available to alignment, having them have a PC in their trucks with GIS on that PC, so that when they go to a site to do an installation, they have everything they need to know about that site at their fingertips? How does good asset management help the quality of our product? Those are the kind of things that you can't really talk about. You have to show them. And that's where bringing the business executives, bringing business partners in early on what are new technologies coming forward. They don't always make the decision to implement, but they're aware of what's the new thing out there. Mobility is a new one right now. Having access to our website on a mobile device so a customer can go in and pay their bill. That's new for utilities. It's certainly not new in banking. But showing our customers and showing my business partners, what do banks do? How does Amazon work? Those are the kind of things that we try and do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's great to hear that you are, as you look to benchmark yourself or as you look for interesting ideas, that you're not simply looking at the direct competition, but you're looking for interesting analogies from other creative technology companies.
I think that's a good way to put it, Peter, because utilities are engineering companies, bricks and mortar companies, and don't always see the value of technology. So giving them examples in the real life world of companies that have excelled as a result of technology, I think really does hit the mark.
And you mentioned earlier, what a great point about having emerged from the business and recognizing that you wanted to frame things in terms of enabling business capabilities as opposed to just technology for technology's sake. I'm paraphrasing and not stating it as elegantly as you did. Were there other kind of frustrations that you had with IT that you wanted to overcome when you then became part of the IT leadership?
Yes, there were tremendous challenges. It began with the leadership within the IT department. Did they buy into my vision? It's classic leadership 101. At the time, in the 10 years ago, during the dot-com boom, IT professionals thought of themselves a bit as elitists. You know, they kind of had the world by the string, so to speak. So helping an organization understand, changing the culture of an organization, creating values for that organization is very hard to do, but critical when you're trying to establish this new rapport with your customer. And my business partners are really our customers. A lot of people left. You know, they really wanted to sit in their cubicle and program and write code and deliver things and not interact with customers and get to know them and get to know what the real business drivers were. We brought in business analysts into IT. In some organizations, those business analysts are in the business. But in order to create this integration, what we did and what I worked with my business partners to do is say, let me have those folks in IT. Let me bring more people to the business into IT. So we built a staff of very good business analysts who understood the business and could relate it to the technology. So we kind of reversed the business proposition. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the relationship started forming, as soon as the cohesive team started forming, and the business analysts were respected by the technologists as adding value to the product, we were able to change the culture. It's giving up some control, which isn't easy, and explaining to people how it's built as opposed to just building it. that creates that trust all about.
That's great. What a great way to explain that too, sort of ensuring that people in IT and business are sort of walking a mile in each other's shoes.
Exactly.
By kind of exchanging people. Exactly. Back and forth.
And one of the challenges was the language they spoke. You know, the business spoke its language and IT spoke its language, and you can't translate that without living with it. So now we have business analysts that know, you know, about Java and Java code, and they don't program and can't, but they know how these tools work, and we have technologists who know how the business works.
Does that mean from a training perspective, any kinds of new ways of thinking about things as you have people, as you mentioned, who are coming towards the same kinds of issues or same problems to solve from very different perspectives? Is there business training for traditional technologists and technology training for traditional
there
business
is.
People?
And there's some available out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the soft skill training that you need to allow folks to take, how to negotiate, because there's never one perfect solution and there's never a right or wrong. So how do you work in a team? How do you communicate within a team? So that was important as well.
That's great. You mentioned earlier the energy smart grid and how it's changing the face of utilities and then the energy business more generally speaking. Can you talk a little bit about the role that IT plays in that?
At Dominion, we have 3 smart grid demonstrations. So we haven't gone full bore like some companies have. And as a result of kind of this thrust of smart grid, we're learning a lot about how it works. Even the definition of smart grid can be interpreted different ways. Is it a smart meter? Is it a smart distribution network? What is a smart grid? So a lot of what we're learning is how to apply it in our particular circumstances. It's adding tremendous value at Dominion for voltage conservation. So we have smart meters on our circuits that measure voltage that allow us to decrease that voltage band and still provide quality power. Maybe getting a little too technical here, but that saves us fuel costs in the long run from our power plants. Others are using smart grid for customer service, for energy efficiency programs, you know, automated air conditioning controls and those kinds of things. So I do think that smart grid is changing the way utilities manage their relationship with their customer and the way they manage the quality of their distribution system. But it's taking a lot longer than I think people thought. And there's mixed reviews about smart meters. You have people that are worried about data privacy because a lot of smart grid information runs over the internet in some companies. So there's still a lot to learn about how it works and how we protect it and how we optimize that investment.
Mm-hmm. As your IT team engages in these kinds of ideas, what role does it play?
We play a critical role. I mean, a smart meter is a PC, you know, programmable. The network is telecommunications. So in most utilities, the telecommunications functions is within the IT department. So whether it's running over our network or running over public network, it's the telecom people that are involved in that. The whole architecture of smart grid is technology architecture. The mesh network that's used to communicate between meters is all about IT networks. So the business, it's like any other IT project. The business is defining the requirements. IT is building the network. IT is building the back-end systems to collect the tremendous amount of data that these smart meters are generating, to develop systems that are analyzing that data. So it really is a big IT system.
That makes sense. Makes very good sense. There's also a fair amount written about the importance of fiber security compliance and some of the challenges of attempting to comply with that. Obviously, there's a lot more to take into consideration. Sometimes a good idea needs to take into account a lot of other things in order to
right.
be implemented appropriately, so to speak. Can you talk a little bit about the approach you've taken?
Well, I think if I'm going to talk about compliance, I need to kind of step up a level and talk just about general cybersecurity compliance, that utilities are critical infrastructure. There are 18 critical infrastructure sectors within the United States that have been deemed that by the federal government to protect national security and the economy, and electricity is one of those sectors. So we have a variety of regulators and industry standards being developed to protect those critical assets. Protecting the network is one. Protecting databases and servers and all the other components is another. And it even transfers into what we call operational technology, which is our SCADA systems. And those are the systems that actually run our plants and run our transmission and distribution network. So we're having to spend a lot more effort and money on prevention, detection, recovery, building resilient infrastructure that can recover from the potential attacks or threats that we all understand are out there. So the security of the network or the fiber is just one small piece of it. It's end-to-end security that we're looking at.
Mm. There's a lot to keep track of.
A lot of pieces, that's for sure.
You mentioned earlier that Dominion Resources is an organization that has grown a lot through acquisition.
Yes.
And you mentioned that IT has a role in that.
Right.
Is there a sort of blueprint that you follow typically when you acquire an organization and you bring in a portion of IT into the fold?
We have a skeleton of a blueprint.
I see.
It's not like banks that have fairly standard back office functions. Mm. Unfortunately, we have 3,500 utilities in this country. They're franchised and operate at the state level. So it's not like telecom that has a big federal law that 1996 that said we want you all to be this. So every utility that we work with, either through acquisition or even partner with, has a little bit different way of doing business. So it's a typical, again, kind of approach that you kind of do the as-is of both companies, you do a gap analysis, you pick the right product of the two. So we don't always have a platform that we can roll them into. Sometimes they have better technology than we do. So we spend quite a bit of time just doing that analysis and then try and get on a common platform. So that's the key. Now, some of the more specific functions, nuclear plants, run differently. So we may keep two different systems for a nuclear plant in the Old Dominion and another plant in the New Dominion. So it's a lot of work. But in the long run, I think the process is a blueprint, but we can't plug and play the different systems.
I see, yeah. So each acquisition is a little bit different.
Yes.
But always with the common theme of trying to get to a minimum number of instances
exactly.
of technologies.
Perfect. That's okay. The right way to put it.
Excellent. And is that true of also process? Is there an attempt to
yes.
develop a standard software development lifecycle or
yes.
project portfolio
Absolutely.
Management, these sorts of things?
Right,
I
right,
see.
Right, right.
Okay. Good. I also wanted to ask you if there are any trends. You've talked about mobility, for instance, which is certainly a hot trend in many industries,
yes.
obviously one that you're thinking a lot about.
Right.
I would love to hear other trends that you're currently thinking about and how you're contemplating applying them here to Dominion Resources.
Yeah, I'm a bit embarrassed to say that our trends are probably old news to other industries, but we are facing the 21st century, and mobility is a big one, providing our customers with information on any device at any time. I mean, clearly when the lights are out, a mobile smartphone is a lot better way to get information than something electronic
Good
that
point.
They can't connect to.
Right.
So we're spending a lot of time with that and trying to make sure it's secure, again, and user-friendly, and that it can be ported to different devices. So we don't want to do things multiple times. I think the whole customer relationship is changing for our industry, whether it's the way our call centers operate. You know, we've always been more, or we don't market, we don't sell, so we've never looked at call centers as being kind of that push. More, we get a question, we answer it, get them off the phone.
Reactive.
As quick, reactive,
yeah.
exactly. But we now understand that our relationship with our customer is important whether we sell or not, that we're building a trusting relationship with every customer. So we're changing our call center technology to be more proactive, to understand our different segments of customer, to relate to them in different ways. Also putting more transactions on the web. I mean, that's a huge cost savings, but it's also what our customers are expecting. So those are the big things. It's all around the customer. I think utilities are sometimes kind of painted with this brush of, you're regulated, your rates are regulated, you don't really care about the customer. I guess I'm here to refute that and say they're our number one concern. And so we're looking at how technology can enable the improvement of that relationship.
That's wonderful. And again, I think it draws upon the earlier insight that you had where there's so much that can be learned from other organizations
exactly.
that have tackled these sort of issues
exactly.
from before.
I mean, something as simple as when I go onto Amazon, they know me.
Right.
You know, welcome, Lynn. You know, well, we want that to happen when they go on Dominion to pay their bill and that we can give them information about conservation or what our next power plant is going to be or what we're doing with renewables. I mean, we want our customers to understand that.
That's wonderful. That's great. Well, good. Well, Lynn McDermott, thank you so much for taking this time on the Forum of World Class IT and sharing your insights. It's been a great conversation.
You're welcome, Peter. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the value of a connected ecosystem to inspire innovation for tomorrow. To learn more, visit redhat.com. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information about these five principles and sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our editor is Chris Davis, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.